I'd like to read two verses of scripture this evening. The first is found in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And we'll just read the first half of verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now over to the first epistle of Timothy, please. The first epistle of Timothy and chapter 2, please. The first epistle of Timothy and chapter 2. First Timothy and chapter 2, and read it from verse 5. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And may God add a blessing to the public reading of his precious word. We can think tonight, do we not, as we consider and we come around the hall here, that we do not preach ourselves. I don't come here with my ideas or worldly ideas, but we've simply come this evening to gather and to consider this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look around the world today, can we not, of many religions. Many things that be taken up with the things that we would learn about in these religions. There are many religions around about here in Costa and many different places of worship. But we've come tonight not to preach ourselves. And we've not come to tell you of a religion. We want to tell you tonight of a man. And we want to tell you and to preach to you about the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just take up the moments that we have here, just in that latter phrase that we read in 1 Timothy. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We can look back, can we not, into the Old Testament. We look back to the many prophets that would prophesy of that one that was to come. We can look back tonight, can we not, in the book of Isaiah. He could tell us there in chapter 9, is it not? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We can think of the names that he was given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We can move ourselves into the New Testament, and we see again in the Gospel of Matthew, we see there the verse would tell us, and we remind ourselves in the night of that verse, and it would tell us that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we've come tonight, have we not, to tell you the good news, message of the Gospel, of one that came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. The one that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We can think that we're not of the scriptures which reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is everlasting. He's from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And yet the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And as Isaiah looked forward to that day when that one that was to be born, the one that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, was born in that place called Bethlehem. And that one could say, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You know, we've remembered, reminded our hearts every night this evening that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's standard. We can look in our own lives and set our own standards, and yet as we look towards God's standard, every one of us has fallen short of God's standard. And we remind ourselves of those well-familiar verses, maybe to all of us this evening, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to understand that this evening before we can be saved. We need to understand with clarity and in our own hearts that we're a sinner in the sight of a holy God. But I want to remind us, and I want to remind that the good news is seen as Luke would tell us in the Luke chapter 15, is it not? I think it's in verse 1 or 2. It says, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man receiveth sinners. And we think as the Lord Jesus Christ grew up in that despised Nazareth, and the Bible tells us of the many wonders and miracles and the signs he did. We could think, can we not, of those that were blind, and yet he could heal them and make them to see. We think of those occasions when those that were lame and couldn't walk, and yet he could heal them. We thought last evening, did we not, of that leper, and he could say, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord Jesus said, I will be thou clean. And the Lord Jesus Christ could cleanse him of his sin. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was just like you and I to a certain extent, but without sin. All of us are sinners, we've considered that already. But the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin. But as he came into the world, he did things that you and I would so commonly do. We can look back in the book of John and we see there the Lord Jesus Christ walking as a man. And we see again of how John would remind us as he saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking towards him, he could say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He recognized that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, was the one that came into the world to save us from our sin. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, we can think, can we not, of the many miracles that he did. We thought of them over the last few nights. And maybe just reflect on some of the ones we haven't mentioned, and we thought maybe tonight about feeding of the 5,000. What an amazing story that was. What an amazing miracle it was. I think there were two miracles on that day, because not only did the Lord Jesus Christ could feed the 5,000, not including women and children, on 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. The disciples could go out, and when everybody was filled, the Bible tells us that they filled up the fragments into the baskets. There were 12 baskets full, and those disciples carried, I'm sure, those baskets home with them. We think, do we not, of the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked not only amongst sinners, he walked upon the water. We think, do we not, of an occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter was in a boat. And Peter could see the Lord Jesus Christ walking towards him on the water. We thought last night of that shortest prayer in Scripture. Lord, save me. I wonder tonight, my friend, is that your desire as you come to the meeting? To be saved. To trust in the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, tonight could be the night when you are saved. Tonight could be the night when your life is completely changed. By trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also thought, as I looked through the Gospels, I thought of the man Christ Jesus. He not only walked, he not only did wonders, but he really, like you and I. We look in the first few chapters of John, we see them, him at the side of the well. Weary. And we think of the truth of that lady that came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting to note in that chapter, as we go through that chapter, her appreciation of the one that she was speaking to got more and more. Thought he was a Jew, which he was. Thought he was a prophet. And eventually she realized that he was the Messiah. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. I wonder tonight, my friend, have you met the Lord Jesus Christ? I know we'll never physically meet him here on this earth to a certain extent. But tonight you can meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And your sins can be dealt with if we put our faith and trust in him. But then I thought again in John of not only that one that walked, not only that one that did wonders and signs, not only one that was weary. When we think of the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus went with Think, do we not, of that scene of man called Lazarus who'd been dead 4 days? And I wonder at those words as they looked and they saw him weeping at the graveside of Lazarus. What are those that looked upon the scene? Those that maybe had that derision concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they looked upon the Lord Jesus and they said, behold, how he loveth him. You know, I want to tell you, remind you tonight, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that loves me. And he loved you so much that he sent his Son into the world to save you from your sin. The same man that was weak. The same man that loved those that had died. The same man that could walk upon the water. The same man that could do those wonders and miracles and signs. You know, I want to draw you tonight to a place the Bible calls Calvary. And I want you to see tonight of that man who underwent the cross. And maybe I suggest tonight using those words of a hymn writer to tell us a wonderful man of Calvary. We see that one taken by wicked hands. We see him buffeted. We see the cheeks, his hairs, his cheeks were plucked from him. The Bible tells us his visage was far more than any man. And yet we think of Pilate before him, he could say, behold the man. Behold the man. You know, maybe your appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is just a man. A man that came into the world and did good things. I hope that's not your only appreciation of Christ tonight. I hope your appreciation is like John of old. Of how he could say, we've considered already in John chapter 1, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ was taken, and by wicked hands he was crucified upon a cross. And there he went to that place called Calvary for you and for me. We thought of Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8 last night, that God commended his love toward us. In as while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood upon that cross to pay the price that needed to be paid for your sin and my sin. And tonight, my friend, we need to understand that we're not redeemed. The Bible tells us redeemed is it's a legal term. And it's more likely used today with mortgages and stuff. When you redeem your mortgage, you pay a price, and the mortgage is paid. We're not redeemed with such corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, my friend, you can have your sins dealt with this evening through the precious blood of Christ, through that work that was accomplished upon the cross. We hear the Lord Jesus cry from that cross, it is finished. What was finished? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John 1 verse 7, I think it is, it tells us that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world, had to come into the world to die upon that cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, my Savior died upon the cross. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. He died for the Apostle Paul's sin. And as the Apostle Paul would remind us, he could say, he loved me. I love him, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Tonight, my friend, have you realized you're a sinner in the sight of a holy God? I hope tonight you've realized that in the Bible it tells us that all of us are sinners. We're born in sin, the Bible tells us. And because of that sin, we're cast out, bound for a lost eternity, in the place the Bible calls hell. You know, it's a fact that the Bible talks more about hell than it does about heaven. And maybe the intention to remind you and me What a terrible place it is. But tonight, my friend, you can have your sins dealt with by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And have it with assurance this evening, a home in heaven. Not through any merit of your own, but through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord died upon that center cross. He shed his precious blood for you. He was buried, but on the third day he was raised from the dead. You know, my friend, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, the Lord's words of the Lord Jesus, he could say, I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You know, our offer tonight, my friend, is your sins to be dealt with. Eternal life is an offer this evening. So how do I get that eternal life? How can I be saved? Well, the Bible tells us that. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It's on the board when you go, as you go out and you leave the building. My desire over these 4 nights is just if one verse just stays in people's minds, is that verse. Repent ye and believe the gospel. There should be no reason and no excuse this evening for not turning to Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in a little parable, it tells us that come for all things and are ready. The work has been accomplished, the price has been paid by Christ. And the call goes out tonight, come for all things and are ready. But you know, in that little parable, there's a few excuses that are made. There was a man that had a piece of ground that he had somewhere else to go. Another one bought some 5-yoke oxen. He had something else to do. One had just recently got married and he couldn't come because he had someone else to think about. I wonder tonight, my friend, what is your excuse for not coming to be saved? What is your excuse tonight for not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, my friend, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 2 that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There is one God. And one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ, Jesus. You know, my friend, I hope tonight that you might just take those words of Luke again. That this man receiveth sinners. And if you come, my friend, to see him and repent of your sin and believe the gospel, he will never turn you away. John chapter 6 would tell us that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But I need to heed you a warning tonight that now is the accepted time. We've got no guarantee of tomorrow. We booked the hall for Monday night too, but we may not need it if the Lord Jesus Christ returns. I wonder tonight, my friend, if you came before we finished, would you be still sat in your chair? I hope tonight, my friend, you might just heed the gospel message. Come for all things and are ready. And put your faith and trust in the man, Christ Jesus.
First of all, thank you very much for coming. Some people have travelled a long way and it's very much appreciated for coming. I just want to read tonight 2 verses. They're found in Acts chapter 16, and verse 30 and 31. I'm sure all of you know these verses, but it's just too good to remind us of the gospel and what it means to us. Perhaps someone will come in. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. We'll read halfway through. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is the good news of the Bible. That is, on that little card we have the good news of the Bible. That is it. We should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I just want to hang my thoughts on this question. What must I do to be saved? First of all, I want to look at what do I need saving from? And then I want to look at what has been done so we can be saved. And finally, what must I do to be saved? First of all, what do I need to be saved from? I'm sure all of you know that this world is a very dark place. As I've travelled around, I've seen the dark side of people. There's those that lie, those that cheat, those that think wrong thoughts, say wrong things. And that danger is keeping us out of heaven. If I was in a burning building, the danger would be the fire. If I was drowning in the ocean, the danger would be the ocean, the water, the drowning. But the danger in this room that is keeping you out of heaven is our sin. When God created man, he created him in his own image. He created God, he created man, Adam and Eve. And they created him a garden. They created him the animals, the birds, the trees, the flowers, the fruit. It was all for him to enjoy and to name. What a beautiful place that would have been. What beautiful place have you seen? Perhaps you've seen Niagara Falls. Perhaps you've seen the northern coast of Northern Ireland. Perhaps you've seen the beautiful mountains of the Lake District, of Scotland. What beauty. And yet it's marred by this sin. But when God created man, he created this garden for Adam to enjoy. But he gave him one command. Do not eat of that fruit of the tree of good and evil. You could eat of any tree. You could enjoy the whole splendor of it. You could look at the animals. You could eat the plants. But you couldn't eat that fruit that was of the tree of good and evil. And all of us know that he took that fruit and he disobeyed God. And because the first man sinned, all of us have sinned. We have this sinful nature. That is the danger that we need saving from. That is the danger. That is keeping us out of heaven. That one sin, that one lie, that one thing that you've seen that you should never have seen, that one thing that you said that you should never have said, that one thing that you've done that you should never have done is keeping you out of heaven. Sin is defined as a law, as a standard. Paul has said that we've all fallen short of this standard. All of us have sinned. This standard could be seen as perhaps the high jump. It doesn't matter how, if we knock it off a little bit with our heel or we plow straight into it. We've all fallen short. Also, we read the other night about that God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, black, white, male, female, old or young. It's not lowered, it's not raised. It's the same standard. And we've all fallen short of it. David says that we are born in iniquity. All of us were born as sinners. And that law shows us what we are. The Bible says that the law is like a mirror. It shows us how bad we are. What about if we didn't know the law? What about those that haven't read the Bible, haven't read the Ten Commandments? Well, our conscience tells us what is good and what is bad. The Bible in Romans says it is accusing and excusing us and the wrong that we do. Perhaps it shows us when we have done things wrong, and also means it might excuse us for the things that we have done. We've all fallen short of that standard. Some of us may be able to put a happy face on. Some of us might be able to perhaps cover up our bad parts by doing good for charity. There are many celebrities, many people out there that can do that. They can give a load to charity, meanwhile doing this evil. But we've all fallen short of that standard. And just like in the law, when we fall short of the standard, when we have broken God's law, there's a punishment. And that's where the Bible says the wages of sin, the payment of sin, is death. And that payment is done in hell. When God will open up the books of life and would see those that have been saved. And if your name is not found in it, cast into the lake of fire. That payment is just. We cannot fight our ways around it. We cannot look at the balances and say, well, I've done this. Okay, I did tell that lie. But we've broken it. The Bible says in James that if we break one of God's laws, we've broken them all. That's how far we have fallen short. But then there's that lovely verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commended. God showed. God demonstrated his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners. How many sins have you done today? Christ died for you. Isn't that amazing? That God demonstrated his love. Even though we were sinners. And died. Christ died for us. This is when I move on to my lecture. What has been done? God sent his Son. John chapter 3 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We didn't deserve it. We didn't ask God for a deliverer. We didn't ask God to send someone. God, whose law that we had broken, gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son. The one who is sinless. One in whom was no sin. No guile was found in his mouth. We read this morning there was no darkness in him. He was sinless. He did amazing things. He did miracles. He healed those that were blind. He healed those that were lame. He healed those that had leprosy. He brought those that were dead, Lazarus, and Jairus' daughter from the dead. What an incredible God he is. Because he was God and he was man. As we've been reminded, he felt tired when he was at Sychar's well. He wept when Lazarus died. And yet he was truly God because he could control the wind and the waves. The Bible says in John, at the end of it, how he could, if everything that was written down that he did, the whole world couldn't contain what he had done. We have just gone a snippet. We were reminded yesterday that all the words of the Lord Jesus could be put on a 21-page pamphlet. The Son of God, all the words of the Son of God. And yet, if your house is anything like mine, there's bookshelves and bookshelves of books of fantasy, there's books of horror, there's books of crime and punishment. There's plenty of books out there, but imagine every single book containing something about the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world could contain it. And then because of man's anger against God, they crucified him. They took him in the middle of the night. They brought false witnesses against him. And they brought him before an illegal trial. No one could agree with each other. And they accused him of blasphemy. And they crucified him. Those nails that were pierced in his hands and his feet. The scourge that was on his back. The spear that went into his side. Because God commended his love toward us. But that isn't what saved us. That isn't what has been done to save us. What has been done to save us is that in those 3 hours of darkness, those 3 hours are the most incredible 3 hours in history. Because in those 3 hours of darkness, God laid the punishment of our sin, that price, that ransom for our sin on his Son. And in those 3 hours of darkness, across the whole land, whether that's the whole world or just Israel, but the whole area, and Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? We didn't deserve it. But he died for us. But as we were reminded yesterday, that isn't the work complete. He died. And he cried, "It is finished!" The cry of the conqueror, the one who had finished that work. And he was taken down and laid in the tomb that no man had ever laid in. And 3 days later, as was prophesied and as was told, he rose again. Romans reminds us that he was died for our offences and he rose again for our justification. That word justification means to declare righteous. To say that, to almost clear the record before God, before his eyes. He will remember your sins no more. He won't forget. He will just choose to forget. Choose to remember. Not to remember your sins. So, what must I do to be saved? So we've looked at what do I need saving from? Our sins. Those sins that are keeping us out of heaven. That lie. The thing you've seen. The thing you've done. The thing you've said. What has been done? God, the one who's set that standard and whose law we have broken, sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on that cross of Calvary for us. The one that was perfect. So what must I do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? Because I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 6. And I repented from my sins. We've already heard. Now I'm saved. Are you saved? What must I do to be saved? And that's where we come on to 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. Trust. Have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. As we've already said, how God will remember our sins no more. All our sins have been forgiven. All the ones that we have done and will do, all forgotten. And we've been justified. We have been cleared of our sin nature, our sins, and have been made sons of God. And we're going to wait to heaven. Just because of his Son. No one else could have done it. I couldn't have done it. I have done wrong. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came just for you. Just for us. That's what you need to do. To be saved from your sin is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, and thou shalt be saved. It is said that when we are saved, we're put into the hands of the Lord Jesus. No one can take anything from the Lord Jesus Christ's hands. But then the Lord Jesus' hands are in God the Father's hands. No one can take away our salvation. Isn't that amazing? No matter what we do, we're always on our way to heaven. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're not, once we are believed, we should be going on for God. Once we are saved, we should be, as the Bible says, baptized. And then brought into fellowship. So as I close, what do you need saving from? That danger that is keeping us out from heaven is our sin. What has been done? God sent his Son to die for you. And what can we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.